A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 200. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Paradox. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, our 200th episode here of British Invaders. Who would have thought we would get so far, particularly as I came on as a sort of guest host for a while, and I'm still here. But yeah, 200. Thanks for sticking with us all this way.
Yes, thank you indeed. Sometimes it works out that way.
So, another paradox is this TV series we're going to be talking about in our next two episodes, BBC series from 2009. Just the 5 60-minute episodes, and it's a show that combined quite a strong police drama with some science fiction elements, and there's some unusual ones that we haven't seen approached in this way before, I think, Brian. We're going to get into sort of stuff about time travel, but it's a different way of looking at it, I think.
Yes, it is. And it gets into the idea of if you could see some details of something in the future, if you knew what was going to happen, could you prevent it? So it's this sort of predestination kind of thing, and the idea of getting glimpses of the future that this show hangs on.
Yes, that's right. As you say, can we prevent it, and even should we prevent it?
Yes, exactly. So the setup of this is with Prometheus Labs, a private scientific facility that is analyzing satellite data and data from space telescopes of different types. And they are analyzing radiation patterns from the sun. And there may be some links to some secret government research going on that could be connected to this organization. Their lead astrophysicist starts to receive these images coming from space, and they're not exactly sure where they're coming from and what they mean.
Yes, that's right. And as you say, Prometheus Labs, a slightly strange organization where it's never entirely clear what their motivations are, exactly what they're up to. But they do get these very strange images which appear to have been transmitted from a satellite in outer space. And it looks like these static pictures show details of some form of major disaster, and in particular of one that has yet to happen. There are suggestions that they may have received these images as something to do with this strange solar activity that they're monitoring. But whatever it is, it leads them to bring in a police team to try and solve this puzzle of what these images mean before the event that they appear to predict actually happens.
That's right. And of course, we are asking, and the show is asking throughout, where do these images come from? And are they really from the future, or are they something else? And why is the British government and the police organizations taking such efforts to control what's going on and to keep it secret and so on?
Yes, we should say that this is a series that probably asks a fair deal more questions than it perhaps answers as it goes on, Brian.
Yes, that's just how I like it.
Okay, so let's look at our characters and find out if they're a likable bunch as well. We have our lead detective, Detective Inspector Rebecca Flint, played by Tamsin Outhwaite, who at the time, again, best known for appearing in the long-running British TV soap opera EastEnders, but she's since gone on to take over as the lead investigator in another very popular cop show called New Tricks. And I like to think that maybe she's sort of playing the same character in that, that's moved to a new unit. Anyway, Rebecca Flint, a very tough and methodical police detective, somewhat baffled by the science involved in what she's looking at, but fairly focused when it comes to actually saying there's a mystery to be solved, let's use police methods to solve it.
Yes, absolutely. She's very much the person who says, okay, there are things that I don't understand here, but here are the things that I do understand, and let's deal with them and get things done. Dr. Christian King, played by Emoon Elliott, from Game of Thrones, actually, is a brilliant astrophysicist who is the sort of lead scientist or lead astrophysicist at Prometheus. And it's the computer system that he is dealing with that receives these images that are apparently from the future. And he very often seems to know more than he's letting on that he knows. So he may know a little bit more about what these images are and how we can and can't deal with the future and so on. And he reluctantly lets out information a bit at a time, it seems.
Yes, we'll keep coming back to Dr. King and his significance and the mystery about him, what he can and can't reveal, and maybe even, you know, talk about his first name, Christian.
Yes, he is an interesting character for sure. Detective Sergeant Ben Holt, played by Mark Bonner, is a no-nonsense police officer, really doesn't believe any of this stuff with the future and the sciencey things, but he's just going to deal with what he sees and do the best he can, and you know, definitely gets things done as a policeman.
Okay, and then we have the third member of the detective team, Detective Constable Callum Gadda, played by the actor Chiki Okonokwo. Now, he's the third member of the team, a man with strong Christian beliefs that will affect how he views the images, and it will affect how he gets involved with particularly some of the later stories as this series progresses. So we've got quite a variety in the police team, just the three of them, but, you know, interesting characters right from the offset.
Yes, and Gadda certainly brings in a chance to have sort of a difference of philosophy. Not that the other two have the same philosophy, but he really brings in this difference of philosophy because his religious beliefs sort of come to the fore when dealing with this, and it brings in some interesting things.
Okay, we've got a couple of more sort of peripheral characters. Simon Mannin, played by Lorcan Cranich, he's Dr. King's boss at Prometheus Labs, a scientist who's now mainly a manager, and he has a strong interest in keeping the scientific developments of Prometheus under wraps. He doesn't want any sort of proprietary information about their developments escaping because of the police investigation. So in a way, he's keen to keep a lid on things, and obviously this will produce a certain amount of conflict with the police team, who want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but find it quite difficult to get hold of, Brian.
Yes, he also helps to tell us how very powerful this Prometheus Labs organization is, that even in the face of the police and the government, things are often being done in the way that Manning and Prometheus want them to be done. Amelia James, played by Abigail Davies, is the government official charged with keeping the project under wraps while the police continue to investigate. So she fits in sort of interesting ways with this power structure as well.
Okay, so that's our basic characters. Let's give you a flavour of the first episode so you know what we're talking about. We've mentioned that these images have arrived and that as a result, Dr. King and his superiors at Prometheus Labs have contacted the police. The pictures seem to suggest that some sort of major incident, possibly a train crash, is going to happen. And an image of a mobile phone's display screen suggests that this is going to take place 18 hours after the images were received. And of course, because this is a television show, they will come back to that from time to time. They will show us a clock ticking down to give us a sense of tension as the events draw nearer and the police team sort of race to try and solve the puzzle. Because they don't know where this is going to happen, and they don't know if they can stop it, they don't know if they can get there in time. So they are certainly, right from the offset, the police team are working against the clock, and that will give us a lot of the dramatic tension.
Yes, absolutely. There's certainly a lot of that there. And the police team set up their command center, their headquarters, to deal with this at Prometheus Labs, right next door to Dr. King's office or lab with the computer equipment that has been receiving these images and analyzing these images. And the police officers are given very clear instructions that the details of the investigation and the nature of this whole thing is to be kept secret from their colleagues and from everyone else. And of course, we have Dr. King in here, and he's being rather dark and brooding and isn't coming forward with his own theories and understanding of things in a very forthcoming way. So we're also sort of wondering what's going on with him and why is he not being very helpful?
Yes, he's so mysterious in the first episode that for a while the police are working on a theory that actually the disaster may be some form of terrorist incident that he's actually engineering, and that he's taunting them with these images of something that's going to happen. So that's one theory that they're going with early on. It's a theory that's dropped, I think, pretty much after the first episode. But it does show that the police don't trust him, and he does seem, as you say, Brian, he's working in a very mysterious way, and he releases information in drips and drabs when it seems to suit him.
Yes, by the end of the first episode, there is pretty strong evidence for all of them that it was not something where they were being taunted ahead of time, because the images were far too accurate for what actually happened. And it has to be mentioned that right from episode one, some of the images we see that are these images from the future are not very pleasant. They're pretty disturbing images.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. Yes, there are some nasty bits and pieces going on. And as you say, you know, the implication, this is a major disaster and there is going to be trouble. And that's signaled to us with some of the pictures.
Yeah, in particular, in the first episode, there was some... One of the images was of a child who had died. And later in the episode, we see that child, you know, alive and walking around. So it's pretty intense stuff. This is not a light, funny show here.
Okay. And it probably won't surprise you to hear that once they've dealt with the incidents of the first episode, the episode actually ends with a second lot of images predicting another incident arrive. That pretty much is the sort of like end credits of the first episode.
Well, it looks as if there's been an explosion.
Mm. There's something else you should consider. June 15th.
That's today. 2033. That's
10 hours from now.
It hasn't even happened.
Yet.
Knowingly making a false report.
Criminal Law, 1967, Section 5, Clause 2.
I'm a police officer, Dr. King. My time is valuable.
You know nothing about time, Diathan.
I know when it's being...
So, turning to our production notes and the bits and pieces we've been able to find out about Paradox, we know it was produced by the Clark & Wells Film Company, who said that they were looking for something different to the normal police show. The normal police show being the idea where the events have already happened, the details of the crimes are known, and the detective has to try and solve what happened. Instead, they wanted to set a future puzzle and perhaps put this race against time element in there so that the detectives would know something's going to happen and have to rush to try and prevent it.
It was written by Lizzie McCurry, who was perhaps best known for the Messiah TV shows. She was an actress who became a writer. And it was produced for the BBC by Marcus Wilson. They had a couple of directors working on it, Simon Ketlin-Jones and Omar Mata. The show was set and filmed in Manchester, which was a nice change, with the high-tech sort of buildings from the Imperial War Museum standing in for Prometheus Laboratories.
Yeah, so that's a fantastic-looking building. So it does give this very futuristic and strange setting for Prometheus Labs. And as you say, Brian, you know, they've got to be applauded for taking this to Manchester and giving us a different look and a different feel to a detective show. It's a bit like when we discussed Dirk Gently and how we enjoyed it, that that was set out of London, I believe, in Bristol. And it's nice to see different locations being used.
Yes, and when they embrace the location that it's both set and filmed in, it can work quite well. And it has been done on other things, but it worked well here.
Okay, we have to say that, of course, one thing Manchester is notorious for is variable weather with a fair amount of rain thrown in there. And the tight 13-week shoot for these five episodes did mean that they did have weather problems in sort of, you know, showing consistency from one scene to another. Another one, I suppose, of the nightmares of television production, I guess, Brian.
Yes, well, they did have quite a bit of location shooting in Manchester, so that was certainly part of it.
There's some impressive high-budget effects. Dr. King's lab with the computer screens looks very good indeed. There's a huge explosion, which is fairly impressive. There's another episode which involves a stuntman falling from a high building, also very well done. So, you know, the effects look good, very modern and up to date.
Yeah, definitely has a nice look with those kinds of things. Paradox was broadcast on BBC One from November 24th, 2009 through December 22nd, 2009.
Okay, and that's pretty much all we know about the sort of putting together of the show. I mean, I wonder if the move to Manchester was tied into the fact that an awful lot of the BBC's production offices were then getting ready to move to Manchester anyway. But anyway, there we go. So we should talk about the availability of this show on DVD, which is what we've been watching. So in Region 2, we had a BBC release of the DVD with the five episodes and two short making-of features, which are mainly about that big explosion and the computer bank in Dr. King's office. There's not an awful lot more detail in them about the production of the show, or really any much more about the show itself from writers or directors, which is a bit of a shame. But there we go. Currently, it's very cheap. £9 on Amazon.co.uk. £1.89 an episode on Amazon Instant, if you want to take just the one episode and see if you get the like it. I don't think it's on any other rentals here. It's not on iTunes and not on Netflix. So Amazon is your place to find it. And as I say, pretty good value at the moment in Region 2. Meanwhile, over the pond in Region 1, Brian?
In Region 1, there is no DVD release, but it is available on Amazon Instant in the US for $13 for high definition or $9 for standard definition. It's also available on iTunes for $14. So no DVD, but there are some official downloads available, which is nice. And I believe Amazon.ca has the Region 2 DVD as an import for about $25.
Okay, so nice to know there are ways you can get hold of it legally over there as well. So that will wrap us up for our first episode on Paradox. And next time, we're going to be talking about some more of these emerging plot threads, and some of them are, in fact, going to turn out to be dangling plot threads, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
We will also talk about science fiction on British TV in the time period this was made, and a little bit about this interesting genre of science fiction and police shows mixed together.
And of course, we'll get round to telling you whether we think you should buy this show if you've not seen it before. So we will be giving our reviews and recommendations and other comments about the show.
Yes, absolutely. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network. You can also find us on Facebook. If you search for British Invaders, you will find our Facebook group, where we have a lovely little community of listeners there.
Yes, splendid fun on Facebook, and also splendid fun with more geeky goodness at VogNetwork.com. We are, again, proud members of Vogue Network, which is the home of a host of all sorts of fabby podcasts about gaming and films and science fiction. So do come along to Vogue Network and have a look at what's on offer there.
Yes, lots of good stuff there at Voice of Geeks. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Do join us next time for the rest of Paradox. And until then, Eamon in England also saying goodbye.